Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the group results for the first quarter 2009. For your information, this conference will be taped. And I would now like to hand over to Mr. Groves. Good morning from my side as well. As usual, Dr. Helmut Perlet, the head of Allianz SE, will guide you through the group results of the first quarter, and afterwards we will have the usual question and answer session from your side. Thank you, and I would like to hand over to Dr. Perlet. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If I look at the results of the first quarter, but should sum it up in one sentence, I would say, thanks to robust core business, Allianz is stable also in the crisis. Under difficult circumstances in the market, we've reached an operating profit of 1.4 billion euros. And against the backdrop of the general circumstances, I would see this as a positive sight. And we see the first results of, or the first positive look, outlook on in life and health. We're positively capitalized with 95% solvency ratio, so we have no additional capital need, and that is also the result of a further de-risking and our conservative portfolio, a strong solvency ratio of 159. So we are positive in all regions. This is also true for our stress tests, even for the equity stress, with a further 30% correction, we would remain at a very high level of capitalization at the end. That was the result from the end of March. Let me start with the overview of the results. I've talked about the 1.4 billion operating result. This is a reduction of 800 million compared to the first quarter of 2008, but still 500 million more than in the fourth quarter of 2008. From continuing operations, we have a surplus of 424 million against last one-time effects from the sale of Dresdner Bank of around 400 million, which I had mentioned when discussing the third and fourth quarter results of the last year. So overall, we have a balanced result with a surplus of 29 million euros. Our equity compared to the end of 2008 was reduced to 33 million. This is, if we take aside Dresdner Bank effects, then this is an increase of unrealized gains of 1.1 billion and 400 million surplus from continuing business. I'd mentioned the solvency ratio before. This has profited from further de-risking and the portfolio of our stock the performance of our stock portfolio and from positive foreign exchange effects. And even if stock markets were to drop another 30%, then at the end we would still have a ratio of 143%, and the ratio that was the ratio from the end of March, and from today's view it would even be higher. In this we have the dividend accruals included, 1.6 billion for 2008 and 0.2 billion for the first quarter of 2009 are included in this result. I would now like to show you our new segment structure beginning in the first quarter of 2009. We have the banking, asset management, alternative investment management business, which used to be part of the corporate segment. They are now included in the our financial services segment, and this is a relocation of 17 million operating business from corporate over to financial services. You can see this on page 5. Okay, now I would like to continue with the most important figures on the group on page 7. You can first of all see the revenue, referring to the revenue of 27.7 billion. The last quarter was one of the strongest we've ever had. Internally, revenue grew by 1.5% on the basis of nominal development. We have an increase of 2.8 6%. If we look at the different segments, starting with financial services, we see positive development from the revenues from our pension products, and the other business segments suffered from the general market circumstances. In life and health, we had an internal growth of 3.6%, which is a significant improvement compared to the previous quarter, and what we're seeing is basically a change of demand from strictly investment-oriented products to the more traditional contracts with guaranteed interest. And what's also positive is the distribution through our bank assurance partners, which grew significantly. In property casualty, we have a plus of 1.1%, so we're at the growth level of the previous quarters. The recession in this area, as we discussed several times or mentioned several times, doesn't have a major influence on the business development. The growth, the revenue plus is due to higher business volumes and in part also due to price effects, and I will tell you a little bit more about this later on. I think I don't have to tell you all the details from page 8. Here we have all the segments in, and I will talk about them in detail later on. So let me come to the non-operating items on page 9. Non-operating items overall were around minus 1 billion compared to 200 million minus in the previous quarter. The main reason, as you can see on the right-hand side of the slide, are lower realized gains and higher impairments. The non-operating impairments were mostly due to equities, 0.3 billion according to two large impairments, Banco Popular and the Hartford impairment, and to answer one of your questions, Commerzbank. For Commerzbank, no impairments were needed due to the development of the stock prices, and we're developing Commerzbank at market and not no longer at equity. But what I would like to mention is that the impairments were lower than we had expected, and the indication that I gave you in your annual press conference is that our stock portfolio did better than the market. The market was minus 15% if you take Euro stocks, while our portfolio suffered a loss of minus 10% on average. Everything else on this slide is pretty much unchanged compared to the previous year, and there are no points I would like to mention here. Let me come to the net income from continuing operations on page 10. We have a result of 0.4 billion. This is from operating and non-operating items, as I've mentioned before, and other than that, there's nothing important on the net income. Let me now come just quickly to our investment portfolio. Our investment portfolio is highly sustainable and defensive from our point of view, according to the current situation. And you can see this from the equity ratio of 8%, which is at the lower level of what you would expect over a standard market cycle. As currently everyone is anxious about credit risks and impairments on the fixed income side, I will show you on page 12 a short overview of our fixed income portfolio. I would like to send four messages basically with this slide. On the upper left box, you can see that we have high quality in our fixed income portfolio. The average rating or the positions of in the different rating classes have remained highly unchanged. When it comes to rating migration, we haven't seen any major changes, any major negative changes. That is especially true for our ABS portfolio, which remains unchanged at 20 billion, where no negative rating migrations occurred at all. My second message is that our asset allocation has remained unchanged, and what I want to tell you with this is that we're not trying to gain short-term profits by using higher bets, but to remain with a stable and defensive portfolio and focus on the most important topics in our insurance business. our portfolio, and this is my third message, is still characterized by high liquidity and fundability, and this is shown with the high amount of government bonds and German Pfandbriefe that also fulfill the ECB requirements when it comes to securities, so that even with difficult market situation, our portfolio can remain stable. And then my fourth message, as you can see and at the lower right hand side, 99% of our investment portfolio is valued at market prices, and only 1% is valued according to the so-called market model. And this is to say that in the first quarter we haven't had any changes in our valuation from market to model, which we profited from. No, we remained with our methods, which is different from several other financial institutions who that in the first quarter changed their evaluation model and therefore had a significant influence of from the reduction of requirements in the evaluation on the evaluation side. Let me now come to the results from the different segments. In PC, we had a result of 970 million, which is a reduction of around one-third compared to the previous year. In the diagram on the right-hand side, you can see that the operating profit development, and you see the most important drivers here. Let me start with others. Last year we had a one-off effect from the sale of real estate that we've used ourselves in the area of 340 million, which wasn't repeated. And then we also have the development in our insurance results, where the positive operating profit was reduced from 400 to 100 million, and there are three drivers behind this. First of all, the deterioration of the results of our credit insurer, Euler Hermes, which contributed to a reduction of 80 million. Then our results from sales was reduced to 150 million, but we're still at a highly comfortable level of around 2.3% of premiums, and our costs have increased by around 120 million. I will come back to this, but this is mostly due to a positive one-off effect in the first quarter of 2008, which had to do with the reduction of external reinsurers in our portfolio and with the change of the market valuation of our equities-based income systems, our remuneration system. Let me now come to the growth in PC. Organically, we've grown by 1.3%. In the first quarter, the main driver in this area was a larger volume. The price effects contributed 0.2% to this development. And let me mention just 2 points on the topic of prices. First of all, and basically, we see that prices are moving. We see first signs of premiums not only remaining stable, but in different countries increasing at different levels. In the first quarter, 40% of our business has been renewed. Out of these 40% with extended contracts, we had a positive price impact of 0.8%, which is also reflected, or which will be reflected over the remainder of this year. From today's point of view, I assume that for the first time in 2 years, we will have a positive price effect for the whole year, and I think it will be around 0.5% in our portfolio. If you look at the premium development based on the different business segments and the premiums that were reduced by 200 million, whereas in the other segments they were increased by 400%. The current development can be seen in the growth rates in Germany, Spain, and Italy, above all. And on the credit side, the price developments had a positive impact. Let me now come to page 16 and the combined ratio. Combined ratio in the first quarter was at 98.5%, and therefore up 3.7 percentage points to the previous year, compared to the previous year. If you look at the two main components, you can see that the claims ratio was a loss ratio was increased to 71.1% by over 2%, and there are three components that this is based on. I've mentioned two of them: the deterioration in the credit business, which is also reflected on the left-hand side, where you can see that combined ratio in credit insurance up from 89.1% and we've talked about the reasons for this to 114.4%. We talked about this in the last quarter, and then the impairments processes were reduced, and they are still at a comfortable level. The rest, so 0.7%, is due to a deterioration of underlying, and we have two components here. First of all, a reduction in the number of natural disaster damages compared to the last year's quarter. Last year had 0.8% influence from natural disasters, and this quarter only 2.1%, so it's in the framework of our general expectations. But on the other hand, we see an increase in frequency and average damages by 1.3%, and this 1.3 percentage points are below inflation, clearly below inflation, which is at 2.53% in the loss side, and the difference shows our efforts that we've had with the different group initiatives you're all aware of on the underwriting and loss side. Maybe I could mention two or three points on the different segments of our group. We see a positive development in Germany, which is in part due to the reduced number of natural disasters compared to the previous year. On the other hand, the quarterly loss ratios in Australia were especially hit by the winter storms and bushfires in Australia. In Italy, we had an impact from the deterioration of the combined ratio is due to the topics that you're all aware of, introduction of sunny law and the change in loss regulation through national pools. And the drivers on this side, Fireman's Fund in the United States, I would like to mention, because you might have might think that there's a trend. We're positive on the loss ratio, 2.1% better than compared to the previous year, but we have a deterioration on the cost side due to infrastructure investments that our subsidiary had reported about in the past. The second or the last point I would like to mention on this slide is on the expense ratio was reduced, it's 1.3 percentage points up compared to 2008 with 27.4 percentage points, which is due to the 270 million one-off effect from a portfolio exit. And apart from the remuneration, there is also the distribution effect, and administrative costs have remained stable with around 800 million in the first quarter. That brings me to our operating investment income in PC, and the result has remained stable or grown a little bit compared to the previous quarter, and has seen a slight decrease compared to the first quarter of 2008. If you look at the different segments on the lower right-hand side, you can see that there was a reduction of in the other area, This is due to reduced dividends. We've reduced our stock portfolio, and this is also due to the fact that on the interest side, on the one hand, we have reduced expenses, but also have to pay less interest, which is shown in the figure of investment expenses and leads to this slight plus here. As you can see on the lower left-hand side, the current yield has remained more or less stable in our portfolio. This brings me to our life and health business on page 19. In the first quarter, we had an operating profit of 0.4 billion, which after a loss of 0.3 billion euros in the fourth quarter of 2008, and against the difficult market circumstances, this is, I think, a very positive result. If you look at the different components of the results, we can see that our surplus in investment, or that we have a loss in investment results, but with an investment result of 300 million, we still have a stable earning basis, and the buffers we talked about in the fourth quarter are enough to reach a positive investment result also against a difficult backdrop. The cost result with expense result with minus 123 is clearly going down, and here I would like to differentiate. In general, our costs are decreasing. This is especially true for administration costs. They were 10% below the level of the previous year, but this is not reflected that much in our balance sheet. And here we have two influences that play a role here on the expense result. The fees from our unit-linked business were reduced because the market value of the capital investment has been reduced, and therefore administration fees go down. That has an influence of around 30 million on our results. And on the other side, we had clearly higher amortizations from activated costs, which was due to different interest rate evaluations. We have a certain volatility, therefore, a certain kind of background noise in our loss and in our results, and the technical result is slightly positive with 200 million compared to the previous year where we had a result of 187 million. We now come to revenues. We had three main effects. First of all, the bank distribution channels are recovering. This is especially true for Italy, but also for Poland and Spain. We can see that there is a change in demand to more traditional products, which, by the way, helped us in the development of our products in Italy, where we introduced a new product, which is distributed through UniCredit. And we see a decrease in UnitLink, which is especially true for Asia-Pacific, but also in France. Our UnitLink sales are going down, and this is reflected in the figures. Allow me to mention two points here. First of all, the business in Germany with Allianz Leben, a reduction of 2.8%, but please bear in mind that in the first quarter of 2008, we had a clearly positive effect from these so-called Riester, the introduction of the so-called Riester pensions, and adjusted on this, we would have seen a clear growth in Germany as well. And the second topic that I would like to mention is the United States. On an absolute base, we have an increase of premiums of 800 million, and 550 million of this is due to foreign exchange effects, or 250 million, excuse me, to foreign exchange effects, and 550 million is due to increased volumes. If we take a closer look at this, we can see that the fixed annuity business has had a slight growth with 1.4 billion is on average for the last quarters, but we had clear growth on almost doubling in the variable annuity business, which in part is due to the fact, or due to what I would call fire sales, because as you know, we have taken some products from the market that we don't see as profitable any longer. We then change product design sometimes, where certain guarantees are no longer given for new business, and we have changed the prices. And all these measures take some time to introduce. And I think we were able to have a shorter lead time than most of our competitors have had. But the distribution channels, of course, use this lead time to sell more of the older products, and that's why we have an increase in volumes there. And if I had choice, we would have liked to or rather not have seen this growth, but it couldn't be avoided. But we assume that the business for variable annuity over the next 9 months or for the remaining months will be clearly, we will see a clear negative trend in this area for the remaining 9 months. In life and health, we still have stable net inflows, $5.4 billion in this quarter, and on this occasion I would like to mention that in spite of the capital markets, the risks on the capital markets, we have not seen higher numbers of cancellations, or we are still at 2.1% of the reserves for the quarter, so there's no sign that the crisis had any effect in this direction. I think that we as Allianz in this area can profit from our financial strength and our strong capital base in general in the market. The investment side, well, we've talked about this before. We have a stable income of $3.3 billion from investment and dividends, so growth compared to the previous year, and overall result of $2.2 billion, and yields have remained relatively unchanged.
I'd like to come to the financial services segment. As I showed, asset management banking and our AAA alternative assets are now being merged in the new financial services segment, and the biggest portion, as you can see from the figures on the right-hand side, is our third-party business in asset management. And I'd like to make two notes, or one note with regard to banking. After the sale of Dresdner Bank, our banking activities in Germany, as you know, are now being handled through OLB, which is providing the platform for Allianz Banking as a subsidiary, as a branch office for OLB, and building up Allianz Banking is on a good way. The start is scheduled for early of June. And the first quarter, the subsegment banking income is $10 million negative, particularly due to a reduction of contribution and setup cost of $9 million for Allianz Banking in the first quarter. The OLB, in order to anticipate any questions, OLB on a standalone basis without banking and their operating profit as compared to the first quarter increased to €10 million by 7%. That was asset management. As compared to the first quarter, the operating profit, which was reduced by €30 million, and of course there are a few special influences, of course the foreign exchange and also Cominvest, these are influences, and if you see this on a comparable basis, that means if you adjust these incomes by these results, then the operating profit as compared to the first quarter 2008 has deteriorated by €43 million or 20%. The main reason for that development has to be seen in a volume-related reduction of the assets under management, which is due to coming from the securities. And this reduction altogether, as you can see on the right-hand side, could only be balanced by reduced expenses. But also, due to the dramatic development the entire asset management industry has gone through in the past 12 months, we can still talk about a quite proper result. And in particular, our pension business is also very good with regard to competitors. The debt securities developed very positively. Looking into the details of the assets under management and also the net fee and commission incomes on page 26, then you can see that the assets under management have increased by 4.1% altogether. But this development was because of the first consolidation of common investment. This would have contributed 40 billion on the management and assets under management, and 48 billion, and also the strong increase of the US dollar. And measured by the internal growth, we have adjusted by these two effects a reduction of 14.6%. And this is because of the negative value development of the assets on the market, and in particular, as you can tell from the figures on the left-hand side, in the stock area and the equities. And the net fee and commission income on the right-hand side on page 26 largely remains stable, slightly reduced from 37.0 to 36.1, which is quite remarkable because the portion of the higher margin stocks in our third-party management due to the market developments and turbulence has reduced them drastically. And based on internal growth, Cominvest and foreign exchanges play a role, we have a reduction of 14.4%. Let me say something about the development of the items. As compared to the first quarter, the expenses have increased by 3.7 to 503 million euros, but this is due to the first consolidation of Cominvest with 23 million and the negative foreign exchange influences amounting to 40 million euros. That means on a like-for-like basis, the expenses have been reduced by 10% or 50 million, but of course not in the same scope as the turnover. That is why the cost-income ratio has climbed to 70.4%. Now, finally, I'd like to come to the two bigger equities and debt in the securities, and let's look at the figures. As you can see, after all I said, you're not going to be taken by surprise that the development of the last 12 months in our equity business left its traces, of course. That is because of reduced income because of the lower third-party money. There is a minus of 12 million. For the first time ever, we have a negative operating income that we have to report since 2002, I believe. And our cost management, of course, will focus on that, and also equities business should be becoming profitable again, and that will be one of our focus. And then as soon as the stock markets have reduced the turbulences, and that should help us that the investment in performance is still intact. Finally, if you look at fixed income, that is the positive story that is continuing here. That is a success story. We have very strong net inflows of 10.6 billion. As you can see, that the operating profit is still going up, 210 million as compared to the previous year, which was 187 million. And with 54% cost income ratio, we've got a very good ratio in which is a top figure in international comparison. Let me come to the end of my presentation, and I'd like to summarize it like my introductory words. I believe that due to our robust group business, we are well positioned on the market due to and we can still control the difficult market, although there are slight signs of recovery. The crisis has not come to an end yet by far. We've got a solid core business field who also make a good income from these operations and give a good positive contribution, and we have got a very good capitalization as compared to competitors. And the risks on the investment side are in a way that they do not influence the capital side. And this is the closing of my presentation. I look forward to hearing your questions. Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received and will take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment and come from Michael Fell from Allianz. Michael Fell, not from Allianz. Yes, I didn't know that you're a new employee. Oh, well, that was a new piece of information anyway. It's about the P&C insurance and two complexes, the combined ratio and also the price development. And further to combined ratio amounting to 98.5%, I'd like to know how this is split into motor and other business and how you assess this ratio. Because for the balance sheet 2008, you said it was 95.1%. Back then, it was a very satisfactory result, and you're still very satisfied. Or are you still satisfied, and how do you see the further development in the course of the year? That was my question about combined ratio and price development-wise. You said that the renewed business would amount to a plus of 0.8%, and versus analysts in the balance sheet conference, you mentioned 1.5% back then. And can you still achieve this goal, or is there a new target that has been formulated? Well, Mr. Fleming, to your first point, motor business and other business, currently in motor we have 99.4%, and in the other business is 98.0%. But principally, the other business has deteriorated considerably, whereas motor stayed the same. Yeah, motor stayed more or less the same. The other business, of course, this suffered from the topics that I mentioned before, frequency and average casualty average. Well, when it comes to my assessment, am I satisfied with this result? Of course, I'm not satisfied. I would like to see a better ratio, but the truth is, it's always like that, and please bear that in mind that this has to be seen in comparison. If you look at the first quarter, then the cyclical results are always a bit worse than the remaining three quarters of that year. And also that year, you have to calculate that as well. We had a relatively long and strong winter, and that means the frequency of losses, of course, increased. And one thing that you have to bear in mind as compared to the previous year, but that shouldn't be a surprise, the 1.3% point on the settlement side and management claims management side. And I see that the profit from settlements should be around 2%, and now we've reached 2.3% in the first quarter in claims management. So what is the further development? Without being too precise and without giving you a guarantee of this stuff, but we have to see what is happening on the price side. I'm a bit more defensive in my assessment. So we do see first signs of price recoveries, and out there are positive opinions which believe that the capacity reduction, which has, of course, happened in the market, will have a faster effect on the prices as we would have expected before. We have to wait and see. Basically, I'd say a combined ratio, if you take an average of 7 to 8 quarters combined ratio, in the last 18 months deteriorated by 2 percentage points. That means we've got a rolling average of 71% roughly. And if you look at the expense ratio, which lies around 26.5 to 27, presumably, then we end up at 98 minus 2% for claims management, and that amounts to 96. Of course, this largely depends whether and to what extent the prices will materialize or not. If we stay at 0.5%, as I just mentioned, then the 96% might move towards 97, but in that scope, it should remain, but with some reservation, Mr. Fleming. You all know that. That's not for sure, as such. Well, talking about price development, our renewals are 0.8. I would have liked to see a bit more, and we're going to talk with our divisions whether and to what extent more aggressive approach should be used. And I mentioned that also. We do not want to deteriorate our position for the future. That means we have to find a reasonable balance between price and volume. You mean the 1.5 cannot be achieved any longer? Well, on that basis, the 1.5% for 2009 should be deemed as non-achievable. The price effect should be below 1%, and that's why I was saying, assuming 96, depending on where the price is, you would have to add another percentage, 1%. Thank you. Next question. The next question comes from Christian Kremer from Reuters. Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions. First of all, can you tell me where your equity quota is and where it's supposed to run to if the financial crisis is smoothing down? And the second question, since the stock exchanges or the share markets have materially recovered in the past few weeks, what does this mean in depreciations in quarter two? Yeah, the equity quota is about 8% at the moment. So where it's supposed to go? Well, if the markets have recovered, I mean, but let's wait and see until they truly have recovered. But if you assume portfolio theories and if you look at the reasonable risk-return position, it might go to 12. But it's always a question of the risk that can be borne. Our equity exposure, as apart from the pure risk return optimization on the asset side, will have to be looked at as the positive indication of share price distortions to our equity. That means after stresses of stock markets, we still are on the go with a capital base which is solid. And we do not have to ask for new money on the share market. Well, recovery of the share market and depreciation. I mean, if the share markets stay where they are for the rest of the quarter, then, of course, we only have only a little depreciation, which results from the time lag. There's a rule, you know, anything that is 20% out of water will be impaired at once. Anything that ranges between 0 and 20 will be impaired after 9 months, and then on a continuous basis, then we've got trailing effects amounting to 300 to 400 million, which might appear in quarter two. Can you repeat the figure? 300 to 400 million. Thank you very much. Thank you. Next question. Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones. Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to probe, if the shares stay at the current level, then you've got a trailing effect of 300 to 400 million impairments on shares on the third and fourth quarter. Thank you. Then my own question. I'd like to know more what you plan to do in the U.S. There were product developments announced. Do you think about job cuts over there? And probably you can talk about the depreciation for Hartford and Banco Popular. But maybe you can quantify that in the first quarter. Thank you. Well, when it comes to U.S., job cuts, well, almost 18 months ago, there was a package of measures that were reduced the job count. There's no necessity at the moment. Of course, we're always looking at the expenses and for cost optimization. So what do we plan on the product side? Well, we're in the process of launching a new product on the variable annuity side, and which is supposed to appear in the second or third quarter, assuming that the market conditions are favorable enough and for that the product can be sold at favorable terms and with a reasonable profitability. Now, in equity and annuity business, we do see negative new business margins. However, this is due to the fact that with this calculation, the surplus income on the bond side is not included into this calculation, which is the so-called credit spread. We believe, and I mentioned that in Q4, that in the long run we will be able to achieve the margin and to earn that margin. Currently, when it comes to the position on the market, for equity index annuities, after the introduced measures, we are well positioned. For variable annuities, the further development has to be seen in line of the development of the market, and that depends on the developments out there. Well, further to the depreciations, Banco Popular, that's where 165 million, Hartford on equities, 140 million. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Yes. In order to ask a question, please press star 1 followed by star and followed by 1 on your telephone. Herbert Frommer from Financial Times, Deutschland. Here's a set of your questions. Now, first of all, turnover Germany. I didn't understand that, Mr. Perlet. The risk factor, the risk level is important for new business. That means people paid premiums for the first time ever for a certain business, and hopefully these premiums will be paid on this year. I can't really understand how the risk level in the year 2008 will have an effect on the new business and to the premium volume in 2009. I can't see this effect as minus 2.8%. Must have a different reason, not that. Variable annuities, whereas you hear people talking about that in the market, that you talk, that there will be three-digit millions of guarantees to be supported on the existing product. How much was this? Can you repeat that, please? They say that in the variable annuity markets on the U.S., based on what you've offered, that the guarantees that you're given have to be supported with a three-digit million amount to keep their value. Maybe you can comment on that. Generally, I'd like to know, what is your U.S. Life and health, which is the capital investment, which is the traditional business? Can you give me a short idea how the crisis showed its effect on that? Because we heard from others, like Hartford and others, we hear no good news. And finally, BIMCO is very strongly involved in Freddie Mae, and what is your own contribution in this company and your own share in this company, and in how far Allianz is relying on government money from the U.S. All right, let me start with variable annuity business. Yes. In the first quarter, in our variable annuity business, we've got a earnings contribution of minus 100 million. These 100 million are more or less due to, under the bottom line, to support of the guarantees, which is the increase of reserve that we're roughly 200 million. On the hedge side, there are 100 million on the positive side. We're not fully hedged. That means that we hedged only the delta risk, but we have a basic risk. That means that the account assets perform differently than the indices, and we've got various other risks which were not fully hedged, that under the bottom line we've got a negative contribution of 100 million, which are quite precisely $100 or euros? I'm sorry, dollars. $100 million. Hmm? In life in U.S., U.S. life, I'd say yes. The market has to be seen as a different one, difficult one, which is due to the fact, apart from the distortions we have on the market, basically asset side is driving this, that a lot of insurers in the U.S. actually, I don't want to say have invested into toxic investments, but they invested in assets which are not really liquid in this current market development environment, and they have to be devalued because of this pro-cyclical valuation method that we all know. Our own company is not affected by that. We do basically have no toxic assets, no structured asset in our portfolio. And that leads me to your third question. Our Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac share, as far as I remember, I'd say $8 billion or €8 billion, which is US RMBS, Freddie Mae, and Freddie Mac in our portfolio. But as you know, they are supported by securities, and we do not have any senior bonds in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as far as I know. That means our risk is rather limited, first of all, and secondly, that was the end of your question, to what extent we will have to support it from the government sponsoring. The answer is no, we haven't enjoyed that. Then, Mr. Sommer, further to your research question, I'd like to come back to that later. No problem. Sure.
So maybe there's something I would like to add, Mr. Fromme. You're right. I had made a mistake there. The recent topic, of course, only has an influence on new business. So you're right. What had an influence is, above all, that the so-called 512 contracts were no longer existing or were no longer closed. Okay, so that's where the last premium was paid in 2008, right? Yeah, exactly. Okay, then next question, please. Currently, we do not have any further questions. So once again, to remind you, in order to ask a question, please press asterisk and 1 on your telephone to ask a question. Okay, our next question is from Robert Kaiser of the Bayerische Rundfunk. Hello. Just one question. Can you give a result forecast for the whole year? That's what I would be interested in. And what about the surplus contribution in life insurance? Well, a forecast for the whole year, we won't give it, and we've explained this, I think, against the current backdrop that we have. It is highly difficult to give an estimate for the whole year because the development on the capital markets has a massive influence on operating and non-operating results, on the operating and non-operating results. But you might remember that in our annual press conference, we gave an estimate on how the operating income would look with normal capital markets, so to speak. And this was in the area of around €8 billion. Let me repeat, this is with normal capital markets. Then the surplus sharing of the insured people, I don't know whether you were referring to Germany or the overall portfolio. For the overall portfolio, the answer is difficult because this is different from country to country. But for Germany, the decision will be taken towards the end of the year, so in November, and therefore, I think you can understand that I can't give you any statement on this right now. But I think if you look at the result of Allianz Leben, you will see that we are on a positive. We have a positive development there with an operating income on the level of the previous year in spite of the difficult market circumstances. And this might give you a hint on what further decisions could look like. But we will have to wait for another few months to see the further developments. Okay, thank you. Our next question is from Christian Kremer of Reuters. A follow-up, one follow-up question. This is on the forecast again. Mr. Perlet, maybe you could tell us when you will be certain enough to give us a forecast, and what do you need to give a forecast against a then better market situation. And another point, what's interesting is what's being left out. I mean, no one has talked about Dresdner Bank, so the question is, doesn't that make you happy? Shouldn't you have taken the step earlier on? Well, Mr. Kremer, first of all, the outlook. you know, the decisive factor, Mr. Kramer, is the capital market. And based on the requirements that we have, this will have an influence on impairments, on hedge results, and topics like these. And it also is in part due to the incidental dates that the quarterly results are given on. So it's difficult, and I think we're in good company with those out there in the market who are restrictive with their forecasts, and I think it would be better not to manage our figures, but our business, and to focus on solving or influencing the topics we can influence. That is underwriting. That is our costs, our expenses, that we manage these points. And I think we've given you guidance in our annual press conference, as well as today when it comes to the loss ratio or claims ratio. On Drista Bank, should we have taken the step earlier on? Well, let me just repeat what I've said in the past, or what I've said 2 months ago on this topic, and which we also stated over the last few months. In the spring of 2008, for the first time, we experienced a situation where it was possible in the framework of bank consolidation in Germany to think about this topic and to discuss it. And I think then, at this point in time, we acted quickly to deal with this topic, and against the complexity of the topic we've had here, the period of time it took us was absolutely acceptable, and we found a solution that for the future of this institute will be a good solution. Okay, thank you. Are there any additional questions? Yeah, we have another follow-up from Herbert Frommer of Financial Times Germany. Mr. Pellet, the 512 story, can you come on to quantify this a little bit? So I would like to know whether Allianz Life has, or Allianz Leben has grown without one-off effects. Do we have figures on this? And then in your cash flow statement, there's the past liquid means and cash reserves minus 32. Is this due to the bank story? And then the third point on credit insurance, I would like to know how you have reacted to the negative swing in your policies and what we can expect for the future. Well, first of all, the 512 story, I hope that someone will give me the data in a minute. As far as the 32 million in cash flow, 32 billion in cash flow result goes, this is only to do with Dresda Bank. In 2008, the bank liquidity, bank cash was included. Well, now it hasn't been included any longer. In 2008, for some technical reasons that I couldn't understand myself, we couldn't book them in other areas. I mean, it would have been discontinued operations, but this is just due to the bank once again. As far as insurance, credit insurance goes, there were three steps we've taken. First of all, our exposures, especially in areas with low ratings, were significantly reduced. There's an exposure reduction over the last 12 months in high grades of 60%, and we then also increased our prices, of course. So on average, with the renewals, we have a price increase of 10%. I know, and maybe this is something I can mention on this occasion, that there is a discussion whether credit insurance leave their customers out there alone without any support. And my answer to this is no. We know that credit insurance is a cyclical business. We know there will be years with a bad combined ratio that we have to accept, and massive or rigid price increases or cancellations will not help us to offset this completely. And we have a combined ratio of 115 in this area, so 15 cents per every euro that we're losing in this area, then I think we can't say that we leave our customers out there without any support. But in good years, you had a combined ratio of 60 and below, right? Well, no, we never had a combined ratio of 60 and below. In the best years of the credit cycle, that was the end of 2006, beginning of 2007, then we were somewhere in the mid-70s. But on the other hand, and this is also something you have to take into account, the 115 we see now are pure frequency claims. We haven't been hit by any major losses, and I can't guarantee that there won't be any major loss that could lead to a further deterioration. But you're still willing to participate in the credit business? You're not thinking about selling Euler Hermes, for example? No, we haven't lost interest in our credit business. Across the cycle, you can see that we have a good company that's a market leader, global market leader, with their international structure, and a company that has proven that over the credit cycle, you can earn money. Manager who used to be at Allianz Global Corporate and Specialty, and they have a different, similar segment. Could you assume putting them together? Well, never say never, but there are certain synergies. But I think this can be managed on an organizational side by making sure that you have a corporate or a common approach towards your customers. But based on the kind of business, there are clear differences. And let me now come back to the 512 contracts. They had an influence of 300 million for the overall year, but I don't have the figures for the quarters. But that would set up the decrease, right? No, I don't think so. Okay, thank you. Our next question is from Ulrike Dauer of Dow Jones. One follow-up from my side. On the operating profit in your core business, you said something, or you mentioned something, it wasn't cryptically, but you said against a normal backdrop, you would expect the result of 8 billion. Do you maintain this, or would you say that the capital markets these days aren't normal? Well, Mr. 8 billion, not million. Yeah, billion, I'm sorry. I thought I said billion. No. Okay, currently the capital markets aren't normal. Let me just repeat this from the top of my mind. I don't have the slide in front of me, but we had around 5.2 or 5.6 billion in P&C with a combined ratio of 96, 2.4 in life health, and around 1 billion in financial services, and around 800 million corporate segment consolidation and then all this. That was the area that brought us to the 8 billion. Now you know that a large part of our life health, so if we assume 2.5 billion life health, 1.5 billion of this is capital investment results in a normal year. And for this, there cannot be any impairments, and we have to have a normal sales ratio. And this is not something we don't have today. We don't have normal capital or standardized capital or normal capital markets these days. And if the market situation remains as it is, we will not reach this 8 billion. This is clear. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Currently, we do not have any additional questions. So, once again, to remind you, please press *+1 to ask a question. As we do not have any additional questions, I would like to hand back for the final remarks. Yeah, okay, then I would like to thank you for your participation, and I wish you all the best for the remainder of the day and the remainder of the week. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. We would like to thank you for your participation and would like to wish you a positive day. Thank you very much.